Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I told you this morning, the title of the sermon tonight is simply this: Caleb. I'm going to talk to you about Caleb. Chapter number 14. When you get to Numbers 14, I want you to find, if you will please, verse number 24. Numbers 14, verse number 24. Then would you stand with me, please? Numbers 14, verse number 24. And the Bible says this: "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into thee, whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." I'm going to start with that verse. In a moment, I'm going to read some other verses. I want to point something out to you so you understand. There are a lot of men, a lot of ladies in the Bible that I respect. Caleb is really at the top of that list. If you look at that verse there, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him." What that means is, there's something unique about this man. His spirit, his attitude was exceptional. Then it goes on to say, "And hath followed me fully." Huh. The average person barely follows God. Here it said that Caleb followed fully. That's one reason why tonight I want to call the sermon Caleb. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Give me the attention of the people. I pray that we'll all show respect in the house of God. It's obvious some don't understand it and will challenge me, but I pray, God, that you will step in and help us, please. Help us to give our attention to the preaching. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to read some verses additionally to you. All right. Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to read to you verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now, I'm going to read Numbers chapter 13. I'll read to you verses 24 all the way through verse 30. The Bible says, "The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the clusters of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it." Let me tell you a little bit about this. The children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt. God delivered them from that bondage. They were then to inherit a new land. God told Moses to pick some leaders to go into that land and to spy out the land and bring back a report. 12 men were chosen to go into that land. When the men went in and spied out the land, 10 came back, and they had a negative attitude, and they had a negative report. 2 of the 12 spies came back with a positive attitude and a positive report. Those 2 were named Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 men, you wouldn't know their name. We don't really know who they were. But we know about the 2 that brought back the positive report. Matter of fact, these 2 men came back from this new land and said, "You're not going to believe it. The land floweth with milk and honey." Said that the grapes there have clusters that are 10 foot long. They would, in other words, use a great big long staff where two men would put a staff on their shoulder and hang grapes from it to carry them. Now, I want you to understand, one of these spies with the good attitude, with the good report, his name was Caleb. The Bible says then, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, a verse that we read at the beginning of the sermon, it said, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." That says a lot about this fellow named Caleb. It says he had another spirit. Now, obviously, he did not have a bad spirit. And he didn't just have a good spirit. I believe he, like Daniel, had an excellent spirit. You say that spirit. Now, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is talking about his spirit, which is in maybe the best way to describe it, his attitude. This guy had an attitude that would not quit. So his attitude was excellent. But it goes on to say that Caleb hath followed me fully. You know something? I would love to think that maybe one day for a moment someone would say, you know, Jeff Owens has a great attitude. I would love for somebody to, even for a moment, to say, I think he just fully follows God with his whole heart. But that's what was happening with this man by the name of Caleb. All I'm going to do, the sermon, I think if you'll listen, I'm going to show you some things about Caleb that made him exceptional. I wish that maybe we could develop some of these attributes in our life. I'm not going to take a long time to develop any one of them. I have so many of them. I've been marking a bunch of these positive attributes off my list. You don't have time to hear about it all. And I probably have 300 lines of notes about Caleb, because once I started looking at the man, I thought, there's no wonder God said he is exceptional in spirit. I'm going to make a bunch of quick observations. We'll be out basically at the regular time. But let me talk to you about Caleb. Caleb. First of all, I noticed that Caleb's position in life did not keep him from being a servant and serving. Let me read to you. Numbers chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." So you understand the 12 men that were chosen as spies, of which Caleb was one, these were men that were already leaders. Or they were already rulers. Because God said, you go pick me 12 rulers. Caleb was a ruler. But Caleb did not act arrogantly in regard to the request that came for him to just go check out the land. He was a ruler, but he wasn't afraid to serve. He didn't think himself above it. He wasn't too busy. He wasn't too well educated or too ritzy. He was a ruler, but he said, whatever God needs, I'm good with it. I believe that God said, this guy has a great attitude. Why? Because he was in himself already an exceptional leader. But when God said to him, I got a little task for you to do, Caleb said, sure. Whatever needs to be done. See, he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty for Christ. No task was too little for Caleb. And I see that in him. Secondly, this man named Caleb was able to work and get along with others. I'll read to you from Numbers chapter 13, verse number 2. The Bible says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Understand, there were 12 men that were pulled from 12 different cities, 12 different tribes, and they all needed to go and work together. You know, there were a lot of leaders working on the same project. And you don't see anywhere in this entire story that Caleb ever misbehaved and couldn't get along with those men. And I believe Caleb is considered an exceptional man because Caleb knew how to get along with other people. There are a lot of leaders, if you get them to working on projects, you've got a lot of tension and people can't get along and people are hurt and offended. Hey, let me ask you, can God call on you to help, or is he scared to death that you won't get along with other people so he can't hardly call on you to help? Folks, learn to live with people in a productive and a gracious way. He is exceptional because he, and understand, this is not a mealy-mouthed, wimpy guy. This is Caleb. He went down in history. He's a man's man. And he's already a leader. But when he was called upon to serve, he could get along with all the 11 leaders that were involved in this project. Let me tell you something that I look for in regard to leadership in the church. People that can get along with people. Because people's our business. People and God. I'd like to know you get along with God, and I'd like to know you get along with people. Let me explain something to you. If you can't get along with people, you are not getting along with God. God is a people God. So, Caleb was able to get along with others. Caleb didn't let a position in life keep him from being a servant. Not only that, Caleb was willing to listen to the leaders that God had placed in his life. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 3, it says, "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran." You understand that Moses is the one that told Caleb to go spy out the land. From all indications in the scripture, God did not speak to Caleb personally. God spoke to Moses, and Moses told Caleb. What I see here is this. I see that Caleb understood that God sometimes in our lives sets up some human leadership. Oh, they don't take the place of God, but God chooses them. You say, well, in what case would that be right? Well, are you a mother? I guess God made you a leader over another human. Are you a father? Then God, in that case, made you a leader over another human being. As a pastor of the church, I'm appointed by God to lead the church. Now, I want to lead the church while I'm being led by God, but from all indications, Caleb was willing to listen to his leaders. You know something that helps me to know whether you'd be a good leader or not? It's how well you listen to your leaders. So I was just built to lead. Get out of my road. That's not leadership to me. To me, if you are a great leader, you have the ability to be a great follower. Someone said everything rises and falls on leadership. Someone else said everything rises and falls on fellowship. I say I don't know the difference. Jesus was the ultimate leader, and he was the ultimate follower. He was wrapped up. He was the total package. He could follow God perfectly while leading the universe, and it wasn't, I just lead. No, he was able to lead and follow in a perfect blend, a combination like peanut butter and jelly. He had it all together. And I happen to believe Caleb was a great man because Caleb knew how to follow. And he could follow the leaders that God placed into his life. But not only that, I seen when I was studying Caleb, I seen that Caleb was willing to even follow leaders that had made some mistakes. Caleb follows a leader. Did you know this guy by the name of Moses? Did you know he murdered someone in Exodus chapter 2 verse 12? Did you know that Moses argued with God in Exodus chapter 4? Did you know that Moses lost his temper in Exodus 32? I mean, Moses, one time, God gave him 10 commandments and he threw it on the ground, broke it into pieces. One time he took a stick and started beating things that he wasn't supposed to beat. He killed a guy. But Caleb knew that God had forgiven Moses, and Caleb knew that God's hand was upon Moses. Now, there are some people you will not allow a leader to make any type of a mistake and for you to continue to follow. I hope you can find a leader who's perfect. Because that leader's looking for a follower who's perfect. But you don't qualify. A Everybody here, everyone in here that goes to a particular Sunday school class, your Sunday school teacher's not perfect. They'll make mistakes. Everybody in here, your bus captain's not perfect. Your pastor is far from perfect. We are tainted human beings. But if we don't have some form of human leadership, we will have anarchy. We will have chaos. And I don't think you ought to ever put a human leader above God or the Bible, but I will tell you this. There are just sometimes we'll follow people that are not perfect. But Caleb could. And if you say, well, my leader's not perfect, I'm not going to follow. You want to have a good long talk with Caleb about the murdering, temper-prone Moses that he followed. I doubt your leader made the mistakes that Moses, Caleb's leader, had made. Take a good look at it. I like Caleb. I think Caleb, there's a reason why he's known for having an exceptional attitude. He didn't let his position keep him from serving. He was able to get along with others. He listened to his leaders. He could even follow a leader that wasn't perfect. Then, I think Caleb was willing to obey God instantly. Instantly. Let me read a scripture to you. In Numbers 13:17, it says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain." And then, in Numbers 13:21, it says, "So they went." In verse 17, Moses gives the instruction. In verse 21, Caleb said, "I'm going." When he got the orders from headquarters, he didn't debate it. He just did what God said. He just did what God said. He was obedient quickly. Folks, when God gives us something to do, I think we ought to do it. We shouldn't put it off forever. You ought to obey God that way. I really believe this. Young people, I think that God has placed your mom and your dad in your home, and they're to lead you. And if mama tells you to do something, you ought to do it immediately. You ought to obey, and you ought to obey right away. I think all of us, I think we go to work and we have a boss. I think if the boss asks that something be done, I think it ought to be done. And I think it ought to be done in a timely fashion. I think it ought to be done quickly. I think we ought to get right on it. I don't think the boss ought to watch us mosey around in our obedience. But let me tell you something. When the God of the universe tells you to do something, you ought to be like Caleb. If God says do it, it ought to be said of you, so they went. Because that's what it says of Caleb. God said, "Caleb, I want you to go spy out the land." And the next thing you know, Caleb had his bag packed and he was gone. He wasn't negotiating it. He wasn't debating it. He was doing it. Do you know if the Bible commands you to do something, you know what you're supposed to do? Do it. Do it. So, Caleb was willing to obey and obey instantly. Makes him a great man. I think Caleb was willing to stand for what was right. And again, another reason why it says he obeyed God fully. Let me read to you from Numbers chapter 13, verse 24. It says, well, I won't read it. We've read part of it already. You remember when they brought back the description of the land. 10 were negative, 2 were positive. The 10 that said it was negative, they said, you know what, there are giants in the land, and to be honest, we just can't do it. We cannot do this. That's what 10 men said. Caleb said, the Bible says, he stilled the people, and he said, we can. We can. He said, it is right that we go into that land, and we can do right. But the others, they weren't like that. Now Joshua, he agreed with Caleb, we can go into the land. But I'm glad that Caleb, he was willing to stand for what was right. Caleb looked at the scenario, he said, this is right to do, so we are going to do what's right to do. So Caleb is a man of exceptional attitude because he was willing to stand for right. And I'll tell you this also. I appreciate Caleb's stand for right because he stand for right the right way. And he got along with people. He went out to start a war with everybody that he made contact with. He tried to get along with people. He stood for right and he stood in a right way. Now, I want to go on. Number seven, Caleb was willing to be a part of a Christian minority. He was willing to be outnumbered, if you will. Do you remember the 12 men went to spy in Canaan, and 10 came back with a bad report, 2 came back with a good report, 1 was Joshua, the other was Caleb. Caleb and Joshua were the only 2 out of 10 that were willing to take that stand. So not only was this man named Caleb willing to stand for what's right, he was willing to stand for what's right even if he was in the minority. Hey, that means there were 2 that said this is right. There were 10 that said this is not good. And I'm glad he was willing to basically stand alone. When everyone else wants to do wrong, even if you have to stand alone, you need to be willing to do right. And God said he has an exceptional attitude. And he followed fully. Now, he was outnumbered. Hey, he was outnumbered by the other Christians, if you will. He was surrounded by some faithless Christians. But he said, I'm going to do right anyway. If the other 10 guys don't agree, Joshua and I are going to do what's right. And I happen to believe this about Caleb. I think if it had been 11 that had opposed, he would have stood on his own. Now, we know Joshua and Caleb stood together. Thank God there were 2 that stood. But I happen to believe that if Joshua would have put his tail between his legs and said, we can't do it, I think Caleb would have said, we can do this. We can do this. The Bible says that he was of an exceptional attitude. He was of a great attitude. So, he was outnumbered by his people. Now, he was also outnumbered by the world. The people in the land were head and shoulders taller than all of these spies. They called them giants. But he was outnumbered by his people. And then he knew they were outnumbered by the opposition. But I got to tell you one thing to always remember. If you'll do right, you and God make a majority. So Caleb said, I'd like everybody to stand with me, but if you won't stand with me, I'm going to stand. And Joshua said, I will. And I think Caleb said, Joshua, I'm glad you're going to stand with me. But if you don't, I'm going back and I'm telling everybody, we're to take this land and we can do this. And the other 10 men said, Caleb, do you have any idea how big those monsters are over there in that land? And Caleb said, do you have any idea how big my God is? And we cannot deny God what he's asked us to give him. This is our land. Let's take it. I'm glad Caleb had that attitude. I admire Caleb. Let me go on. Number 8. I think I see that Caleb is not a vindictive man. He's not vindictive. I'll show you why. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 31, it says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. If you read verse 31, 32, and 33, this is what you'd find out. Remember, the 10 men, they came back. They described the land and said, this is not doable. Truth is, they exaggerated the opposition. They said, we're like grasshoppers to them. Now, the men in the land were not so big that the human beings were grasshoppers. They exaggerated it. But I'm going to tell you what you find out. Caleb did not attack the other spies. You know what Caleb did? Caleb said, we can do this. They said, we can't. Caleb didn't talk to the naysayers. Caleb said, God said, we can do this. We can do this. His issue wasn't with the naysayers. His issue was being obedient with God. He wasn't, hey, can I tell you all something? If you're not careful, you'll get so off track with the people that oppose, you won't do what you could have done by staying with the God that is for the program. Caleb said, let's just take the land. You know that those people, I don't know, might be that the other 10 spies went around talking about Caleb. They said, that knucklehead. Maybe on their way back from spying out the land, they were all having a talk. They're saying, what are you going to vote? How are you going to vote? What are you going to say? A bunch of them were saying, well, we can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. I think Caleb was pretty determined when he got back what he was going to say. And it might be that they tried to convince Caleb, let's say no. Let's say we can't do it. Let's all stay together. Caleb said, I've got to do what's right. I've got to do what's right. And it may even be when they came back and Moses said, okay, give me a report. 10 men said, we can't. Caleb said, we can. Can you imagine the way the 10 men looked at Caleb? You ever get that glare of opposition and disgust? But you know what? Caleb didn't get a bad attitude about it. He didn't attack the 10. He just stuck with God. Can I tell you all something? Stick with God. Let the world rage and let the naysayers do what they do. Stay after the things of God. Keep your attitude right. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Do you know that Caleb could have gotten mad at the other 10, but he didn't. He just said, I'm going to use my energy to keep going forward for God. He didn't waste his time. He didn't waste his energy on his critics. He just did what God wanted done. So, Caleb was not a vindictive man. Hey, read your Bible. Take a look and see if you can find out that later on Caleb went after these 10 guys. He didn't corner any of them in the church parking lot. He didn't write a blog. He didn't tweet against them. He didn't email anything against them. He didn't get on Facebook and attack them. You know what he did? He said, I'm going forward. God said we can do it. He just ignored them and went on. Can I give you some good advice in life? Go on for God. Go on for God. Don't waste your time on the critics. Just keep serving God. I've got to keep going. Caleb was not vindictive. Number 9, Caleb was willing to get involved. He was just willing to get involved. In Numbers 14:1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Here's what happened. In Numbers 14:1, there's a group of people, they begin to gossip, and they're actually getting mad at Moses. And they heard the report, and Moses is going to, he wants them to go into the land, and there's some contention about it. But the Bible says, in Numbers 14, verse number 6, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. Here's what happened. Some people got mad, and they were virtually attacking Moses. And the Bible says that when that happened, Caleb stood up and he said, I saw what I saw, and I'm telling you, what we're about to do is good. It's good. What was he doing? Caleb was not afraid to get involved. Caleb wanted to keep that attitude positive. Caleb said, let's not criticize because of the opposition. Let's become productive because of who we know is on our side. Look, I can't tell you how many people want to talk about the problem. You know what I want to do? I want to fix the problem. Can I tell you something that I would advise everybody in here? Stop talking about what you can't fix. If you don't have anything productive to say, just be quiet. If I'm going to talk about something, I want to fix it. If I can't fix it, I guess I need to mind my own business. But these people were becoming critical of Moses' plan. And Caleb said, wait a minute. This is a good plan. I saw it with my own eyes. And Caleb wanted to go forward. He was willing to get involved. Let me give you a couple points. I'm almost done. Number 10, Caleb was willing to follow. Then he followed a man that was his equal. And I love this about Caleb. Caleb ended up following a man that was his equal. Let me explain. When Moses died, God chose Joshua to take Moses' place. So the great Moses passes away, and God passes the mantle from Moses to Joshua. Now, wait a minute. Joshua and Caleb both were at the top of their class. Both brought back a good report from that land. But you know what happened? God said, I choose Joshua to become the new leader. You know what Caleb said? Fine, God. Then I will follow Joshua. They were equal. If you look at both of them, you're going to see a lot of great things about Caleb. Caleb could have said, well, I have the right to lead that. I should have been picked. He could have become jealous. He could have become mad. He could have become bitter. He could have become arrogant. But he didn't. Study your Bible. God said, Joshua, step up. Caleb said, yes, sir, God, if you pick Joshua, then I will obediently submit with a great spirit, the leader that's been chosen. It'd be good for everybody here to know, to me, jealousy is one of the most petty behaviors among Christians. It dilutes my spiritual opinion of people terribly. You say, why? Well, if someone can tell you're jealous, you've let it out. That's even worse. That means it's really a problem. Because most people that are jealous keep it in at least long enough to cover it up for a while. But I'll say it again. Jealousy is one of the most pitiful behaviors of a Christian. Caleb wasn't jealous at all. Caleb, God said, I picked Joshua. Caleb said, yes, sir. It's okay by me. Caleb wasn't a position seeker. Caleb was a servant. Servants don't get offended when they don't get a position. They just want to serve. He's a great man. Caleb is a great man. Let me tell you something else. Caleb was a very patient man. Very patient. If I read you all the scripture, you would find this out. Moses had promised that the land would be given to Caleb and his people. He promises him that. Do you know that finally, in Joshua chapter 14, verse number 9, God finally says to Caleb, Caleb, the land where your foot is, that's all yours. Do you understand, and I know you don't, but let me tell you, Caleb is given the land God promised him 45 years after the promise is made. God said, Caleb, I'm going to give you all that land. 45 years, Caleb waited with a good attitude, a positive attitude, a humble attitude, and then God said, okay, Caleb, it's yours. That's patience. He was a very, very patient man. And he wasn't bitter. He wasn't bitter at all. He's very patient. I'll give you one more point, and then I'll cut it off, I promise. Let me tell you one more. Number 12. Caleb kept going when he was old. He kept going when he was old. The Bible says in Joshua 14:10, it says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he hath said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb, at 85 years of age, Caleb was still going forward for God. Boy, I'm encouraged by that. I don't know how long God will let me serve him, but I like that number 85. I really like that. I'd like to be able to serve the Lord until I'm 85 years of age. And I like Caleb's attitude. Caleb, he was not letting his age stop him from serving God. Maybe Caleb couldn't run as fast as he used to run, but he could still move. Maybe Caleb, you know what? Caleb had to use maybe a little more wisdom. Maybe his body was not as capable, but boy, he had lived 85 years and walked with God for 85 years. He had something that some of the younger folks did not have. He had the wisdom and the experience of God. But I got to tell you, I am very, very excited about this attitude that Caleb had. Caleb kept serving God when he got older. Everybody here, you might not be able to do what you once could do, but everybody can do something. And if you'd like to be like a Caleb, just keep serving God. A pastor called me from the West the other day, and he said, Brother Owens, I really want some help with my church. He said, I'm going to describe it to you, and I just want you to analyze it and give me some information. Tell me what to do. I'd like to go to the next level. And then he said this. He said, 90% of my congregation are over 65. He said, I am a mess. And I told him this. I said, what a wonderful opportunity. They're wise. they're old school, and they have money. I'm just telling you what I told him. They're not going to act like children all the time. They're going to be on time, because old school people are on time. If they give you their word, they're going to do what they said they were going to do, and they'll die to break their... They don't want to break their word. I said they're people of principle. They know their roots. What they're going to do, they're going to commit themselves and then keep the commitment. I said, that's a great place to start. I said, I would rather have the strength and the wisdom of many, many years than a bunch of firebrands that are all over the place that don't know how to behave themselves and can't get along with people, and they're jealous of everything and they don't have any character. I said, you start there, you'll be all right. And then I took about 20 minutes. I said, I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this. He thought having a handful of senior citizens was a negative. I said, that's not a negative. That's powerful. What a great foundation on which to build. When we got done, he said, you know what? You're right. I knew I was right, but what else could he say? Now, let me tell you, young people, the Bible teaches you ought to respect those people with that gray hair and respect them. But let me say to every person here, if you've got a few years on you, thank God for you. Thank God for you. Keep serving God. The young generation needs to see that. I happen to believe that when Caleb was walking through town at 85, there are all sorts of families that would point at Caleb and say to their boys, see that guy? I wish you'd grow up and be like him. See that guy? He's still serving God. He's been at it a long time. I think there were moms that would say to their children, he's the one that brought back the good report. He is one of the best men in this entire area. I believe that. Caleb kept going when he was old. I don't have time. I won't go any further. I just call the sermon Caleb. I'm impressed with Caleb. He had an exceptional spirit and he followed God fully. If I could just encourage everybody in here tonight to decide, I'm going to have an exceptional spirit. And I will just follow God fully. That would rearrange, change your life, and you would go to a new level in your Christian life. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you're saved, may I extend to you a challenge to become like Caleb. Because Caleb was like Jesus. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I'd like to develop those Caleb-like attributes in my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Caleb, to me, what a powerhouse. In him was an exceptional spirit, and he followed God fully. His stature in life did not keep him from being a servant. He knew how to get along and work with others. He listened to his leaders. His leaders, he could even make a mistake here and there, and yet he could follow. He obeyed instantly. He was willing to stand for what was right. He could be right as a minority. He was not vindictive. He wasn't afraid to get involved and defend that which is right. He was a man who could follow a Joshua who was his equal. But because Caleb was not all about position, he was just all about serving. He did it with a good attitude. He was patient, for it took 45 years for him to get what God promised him, but he waited patiently and was honored that God fulfilled the promise. And he kept on going when he was old. Caleb.